Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you so much for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for great things, oh God, that you have ushered us into. I pray that this morning you will continue to raise our expectations, affect our lives. Let us not leave this place the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew chapter 22. We are dealing with a very, very important subject. Many are called. Many are called. Matthew chapter 22, and we want to read from verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, and verse 1. Where's Princess? Fortune, where's Princess? She ran away from me? Is she ashamed? She's not ashamed. Okay. Tell her that her sins are forgiven, right? So she can. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. The Bible says that, and Jesus answered and speak unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. You see, there's nowhere in the Bible that people married themselves. They were always married for. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. There's nowhere in the Bible that somebody went and I found a girl and I married her. There's nothing like that in the Bible. There's always parents involved. There's always support and backing. There's not always one man, one single person. Uncle God, somebody, you know, alone going to meet some girl somewhere and promise her, and then they take her quietly to go and live with her, and all kinds of fantastic, crazy ideas. If we're living the Bible life, then it must be, our marriages must involve people. And people who are important to us. I said people who are important to us. You can't run away. Don't allow yourself as a woman or as a lady to be taken into some quiet marriage that nobody knows about. Are you listening to me? Tanisha, are you listening to me? Amen. You get it. So the Bible says that a king which made a marriage for his son. It means that the king was involved in his son getting married. Fully, completely. It wasn't like, you know what, you are old, I am young, and I know what I want. These old people, you understand, your time passed, your time is gone. There's nothing like that if you're going to live the Bible life as a Christian. Hallelujah. Bible says in verse 3, and he sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden or invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They made light of it. It's not like they turned a bulb on it. You get it? They said they made a light on it means that they didn't take it serious. Yeah, they consider it as a very light privilege and not a heavy one for being invited to a king's son's wedding ceremony. Hey, they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully. The rest of them, he took the servants and just, you know, ill-treated them. And some of them, they were slow and slew, then slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was angry, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is still ready, but they which are invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was finished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how did you get here without a wedding garment? And the guest was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, the reason why few are chosen was because of how the many treated the invitation. Are you there? Yeah. It's a parable. It's verse 14 comes, but it starts from verse 1, where a king throws a party, a wedding ceremony, party, feast. He said he's killed his fatlings and everything. And the people he invited, the Bible says they took it lightly. Now, many people don't understand when they are called. Are you there? Many people don't understand when they are called. So we want to look at the book in page 31, what it means to be called. What it means to be called. What it means to be called. We're dealing with this book, and everybody should get a copy of this book. Even Jonathan, my son, has a copy of the book. Man, it's too powerful. So chapter 5 of the book, many are called. Many people take the calling of God very, very lightly. Hallelujah. What it means to be called. It is the lack of meaning that makes us not understand a lot of things. When you lack understanding, you hardly appreciate something that has been given to you. Yeah. And most of the time, we miss our blessing because we don't understand things. We don't know what it means. What does it mean to be saved? Many people don't treasure their salvation because they don't understand what it means to be saved. In fact, what it means to be saved is that there is destruction coming, and God has created refuge for people who are willing. Now, refuge he has created really wasn't necessary because we don't deserve it. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of the things we have done in our lives is just to die. None of us really needs the kindness and the compassion of God. Because all of us like sheep have gone astray. Everybody's doing whatever they want. Why should somebody come and die for us? We don't even understand why he should even die for us. We are substituting the death of Jesus with all kinds of gods and with all kinds of means. Jesus has come, he's died for us, yet we don't even appreciate it. We don't want it. Someone is like, well, did I ask him to come and die? What is the death of Jesus to me? It's because of the lack of understanding. You see now, So the greatest gift that God can ever give to mankind is salvation. And then after salvation, there's another great or a greater privilege to do something for God. You see, so the first privilege, which is great, is to be saved. It's to be delivered from destruction. Now, if this guy Maduro, the bus driver president of Venezuela, if he follows on with his craziness that he's into now, I mean, Chavez was even a little decent when it comes to his neighbors than this Maduro guy who was a bus driver who succeeded Hugo Chavez, who are here plans to give ID cards to people in Essequibo because they are part of his country. There's something wrong with this guy. You know, but that's what politics does for you. Now, if there is war, I'm sure many of us will want to seek refuge somewhere. Now, our country is not so is so developed for us to run in different directions. When you run, the next thing is a river. Anytime somebody, blast the Demerara Harbor Bridge and the Babies Bridge, we are locked up. And Linden Bridge, that Linden small bridge, something bad has happened to us. Then they can come for us because you can't run away anywhere. If you like swim, I think it's good to learn how to swim, you know, because the time is coming that swimmers will probably be the ones who will, who will be saved. But should there be a war in Guyana now? Nobody will refuse safety. Nobody will refuse a place where you will not be affected by the guns and the bombs and all of that. And you see, these guys, they have a lot of weapons that they don't use. So sometimes because of their madness, they want to just use it on some precious lives. And it's all American, you know. It's all because of America. Because we have been living here for how many years? Nobody told us that. They are going to give ID cards to people on the other side of the river until the coalition came into government. Because the coalition is pro-American, if you don't understand it. They are pro-American. It means that Granger and Co. like Americans, unlike Jagdeo and Co. who didn't like Americans. So once this place becomes pro-American, it means that Americans can do a lot of things here, even against Venezuela. And therefore, they don't want that. Because if you see the chargé d'affaires, how do you call it? Is it Brian Hunt? American guy, the big guy. He's making a lot of statements. He's even inviting us to accept gay marriage and all of that. They want to Americanize us very soon. ExxonMobil from America is the company that discovered oil. It's American. All of this for Maduro is a threat. Because you don't want Americans next to you. They are bad people. So that is why he's flexing all his muscles. And it can become ugly. It could. Because there are some crazy people who run countries in this world. Yeah, there are people who are very crazy. Should that happen, where are we going to go? I'm sure you come to the church. Why you don't pay tithe? I come to seek refuge in a church. Yeah. That's how salvation is. Salvation is destruction that is imminent and God saving us from the destruction. Now, not only has he saved us, he's given us a privilege to do something for him. Now, think about it. Bishop came, isn't it? It's like a dream that he came. And I still can't believe that he came. Now, you think about it. Even when I went to pick up the ID card, or card, you know, when it fell, when he was doing a demonstration with Pastor David about the word, and I was going for the card that had fallen, No, he was telling me that I want to be in a movie. You remember? He said, I want to be a movie star. Now, even to do something for Bishop, if Bishop was to call Brother Shem and say, come, I want you to do something for me.
My God.
Ah! Even, I mean, as much as we honor and admire and respect him, you'll be so excited. Hey, so anything, please. I mean, you even care. You just do whatever he's asking you to do. Now, this time, it's not a human being. It's God Almighty who has called you and I. How can we have excuses? How can we take this thing lightly? How can we have other things that should prevent us from heeding to this call? It's because we probably don't understand what it means. Because if we really understood what it meant, we will behave differently.
I believe so.
Yeah. Are you guys there? Why is your book closed like that? So, chapter 3, Bishop deals with what it means to be called. And he says that to be called by God is a far greater privilege than to be appointed to the White House. Yeah. If we understood the call of God, we'll encourage a lot of our young people to become pastors. We encourage our young ladies to marry pastors. Yeah, that marry doctors and lawyers or touts or bus drivers. With all due respect, somebody left the church because I preach about bus conductors. How many years ago? 7 years ago or 8 years ago, I met a person recently and she said, I left your church because you were preaching against bus conductors. Because my husband was a conductor. I said, oh, please, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean it the way you said it. Hallelujah. Because what I know is that every woman wants, improvement in their life when they are marrying.
Amen.
Yeah. I can't imagine, my sister here, marrying somebody who is going to be a liability. That the person can't even, give her anything.
No way.
No way! You get it? So, so I was preaching, I was saying that, it's very nice as we are serving God, unless God really specifically tells you about something, and that doesn't happen most of the time. Most of the time, we believe God that whatever God is doing in our life must be a better something, and therefore, if we're going to get married, it must be a marriage that will help you, a marriage that will lift you up, a marriage that will establish you, so that that you are growing, you are going forward. Not that when you marry, then things are going the opposite side. I don't think any of us want that. And then for the pastor to come and tell you, oh, it is God's will, it's very difficult for you to accept what the pastor is saying. Yeah. Even though God moves in different ways. do you understand? So in the same way, when it comes to the calling of God, God is actually establishing us, he's taking us forward, but we hardly see it. You see, it is the understanding of the call that made Moses leave the palace. Yeah. Remember, the Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he was of age, chose rather to suffer affliction. Hebrews chapter 11. With the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses was going to be the next Pharaoh. But the heart
of the desire to free the Israelites was stronger for him than to just live in Pharaoh's house. Now, if you look at it, you see, I don't know. I may not understand also. But there's a particular pastor that I think has migrated, has left Guyana after the elections, or even before the elections. A very powerful man of God, because of his political things. I saw his family portrait on Facebook. Very beautiful family portrait. And I thought he was around, but when you read the comments, you realize that he's somewhere, because people were wishing him well. People were saying they miss him and all of that. And I mean, for me, it has confirmed that the man has checked out. Now, I don't know whether you say this is the will of God. Because if you choose to work in Pharaoh's courtyard and that is the message we all preach. When Bishop came, if you listen to him, he mentioned the same thing. That the preciousness of the call cannot be compared to being asked to come and work for any government. He said that if you ask him to be a president, you're actually disrespecting him. Did you hear him say that? Yeah. You're actually demoting him. Because the call to be a pastor, somebody who gives his houseboy a car. Now, if you go into government, you won't have a car. The car will be for the state. If you change the ownership of the car, you'll be arrested. Police will come into your business. So there's nothing beneficial even working for any government. And I have said it, and you should watch it, that even those pastors or men of God who think that, oh, a bad one has gone and a good one has come, we should be careful. Because before you realize another 23 years has come and it's changing, and you see who be driven away from their house. The person who thought that a good one has come. The only good one is the calling of God to stand in a pulpit and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only good thing you want to be called into. I tell you. Yeah. A powerful man of God. I don't know what has happened to his church. I don't know what the denomination is thinking and all of that. But you see, it is so bad. To me, I feel bad about the thing. Because somebody who is very powerful, I mean, he's a very good preacher. Has left. He was living very, very close to the president's office. And I even felt that house probably came from the government. Because President Sam was the one who told me that, I think Forbes took control of all the buildings. Takuba Lodge, which was supposed to be a hotel, which is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. All the houses close to the president's office, I hear Forbes, took control over it. Isn't it? So, but he was living close. Very, 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 very correct place. Hey. Working for Pharaoh. Driving Pharaoh's car. Now, all of a sudden, husband, wife, two children, out. Out. What happens to the church? So, what happens to your call? What are you going to say now? You're going to say that, oh, God is moving you to a new level. Is that what you're going to say? No, I think God didn't move you to a new level. It's because of your decisions. Your affiliations. The Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Is that what I'm looking for? He says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Because Moses realized that to be called was too important than to stay in Pharaoh's house. He felt that. He said, you know what? I understand this thing about this calling. It is far precious. The same thing that happened to Abraham. Abraham loved his parents. Abraham enjoyed his house. I'm sure he was living in a very big family house with mommy, daddy, and all of this. With his wife, Sarah, a nephew, a Lot, and all the people that were in the house. He enjoyed the place.
When God called him to leave his house and his people and his country to a place where he was going to show him, Abraham realized how important that call was. He understood it. I mean, do you think it's easy to just leave your country and your people? Yeah. Everybody loves their family. Yeah. Sometimes some people tell you blood is thicker than water. I don't know which kind of blood. I believe the blood of Jesus is thicker. No, but you see, you'll be very surprised that when it comes to blood, Christians begin to make differences between real biological relationships more than the blood of Jesus. You'll be very surprised. Yeah. One day a brother asked a question during a Bible study, a meeting. He asked that if your biological brother needs something and he asks you for it, and a Christian brother also needs that same thing, he also asks you for it, the two of you ask for it at the same time. This is a Bible study question. Oh. He said, if they ask for it at the same time, who will you give it to? It was a debate. It was a debate. Now, who will you give it to? Yeah. The person you will give it to will depend on your understanding of your calling and of your life. So there's a Christian brother and there's a biological brother who's not a Christian. It's something to think about. Who said that? It's something to think about, yeah. It's so straightforward to me, but it's not straightforward to many of us. Yeah. Now, if any of your family members witness that you have given it to the Christian brother, the accusations and the abusing that will come. In fact, they will make the whole thing look so bad. But when Jesus was preaching and teaching, and he was called that his brothers and his mother were looking for him, what did he say? He said, brothers and brothers? He said, these are my brothers. I don't know what the brothers did when they heard him say that. Because the calling is more precious and important than any other thing. But as long as the person is not involved in your calling, they are not important to you. Yeah. Abraham left his family. The calling was also so important that the disciples also left their families. Peter and Andrew, growing up, we can bring the Amerindians in. Amerindians, they start working with their parents, you know, from an early age. Farming, fishing, small Amerindian child. Now, to the point where Peter and Andrew, big guys, working with their father, they must have been fishing for years. And one day, a man comes around and says, follow me. And can you believe it? These guys, I don't think they even went home to pick up their bags. Because Jesus wasn't carrying a bag, so why are you going to carry a bag? The Bible said they left their father and they followed Jesus. He, your father? Your father? Hey, you don't respect him. Your father who gave birth to you? You're leaving him for a stranger? Now, it is because Peter and Andrew somehow understood the preciousness of the person who is calling them. Hallelujah. Now, to be called, number one, means to be summoned distinctly. To be summoned distinctly. To be called means to be summoned distinctly. It means to be identified, to be called out by name and selected by God. to be identified. So can you believe it? That God, of all the billions of people on earth, has identified you. Right? Has identified you. There are so many people to identify, you know. There are so many people. Out of billions of people, God looks through and he picks you. And he calls you by name. And he selects you. The Bible says that in the days of Elijah and even Elijah, there were a lot of widows. You know the widow that Elijah went to and asked that she makes a meal for him. The Bible said there were so many widows. There were so many widows. So that widow had one of the greatest privileges to feed the man of God. Because Elijah could have gone anywhere. Little did she know that God was using her to feed his servant. Because Elijah was in the wilderness. He was fed by ravens. Because it was a time of famine. I mean, Elijah had closed the heavens for 3 years. So there was no rain and it was very difficult to get food. And God was feeding him until the point where God said, I'm sending you to a widow. So the widow now was just had been identified. Called out by name and selected by God to make a meal for his servant. Now, can you believe when the widow said, you know what, I beg you, you these pastors, you just come to people's homes by heart, you just ask for food. Slam the door right in front of his face. What would have happened? That woman will only be waiting for a certain judgment. There were a lot of virgins in Israel in the days of Mary. A lot of virgins. She was not the only virgin. No. She wasn't the only virgin. There were a lot of virgins. That's why the angel appeared and said, you are favored. It's like of all the virgins, you are the one God picked to use your womb. God identified you and identified your womb. There were so many wombs. It's a very special identification. I tell you. As you a Christian sitting down in the church this Sunday morning, you must see what it means to be called. When the Bible says many are called, God is calling you. You must see how privileged it is for God to look all over and pick you out from a group of people. I tell you. It's a blessing. As a kid, there's so many young men in your time. Yeah. You're picked. Sent to Ghana. It's a privilege for God to call you from East Penitence. Cochrane Street. There are so many young men on that street. Some are Muslims. And some are in prison. And some are just walking around. Some are playing football this morning. You are wearing a suit and with a tie, you are sitting in the church. It is a privilege. I tell you. It's a privilege. Yeah. You know, he will tell you, he said, when you see, when Prince comes around, when he sees Prince, he said, we used to play cricket together. He said, they play cricket together. And he said, the cricket ball will come on the roof. Yeah. Pastor Kid will tell you that. Yeah. Sunday mornings. Now look at how God has identified him and picked him out. No more cricket on Sunday morning. Now, if you say no to this, if you say, mean get time, if you say that, oh, you know what, next time, let me, like people will say, you know what, a good day, people.
people say a good day, people say, you know what, man, I'm gonna come, man, I gotta put some things together. Then it means that you don't understand the privilege that you are being given. A good day, a good day, a good day is now. A good day is now that you are being called. So many of us, we're in the church, we don't want to offer anything. When the Bible says that many of us are called, you are telling the king who has thrown a marriage, a party for his son, that, you know what, you have other things to do. Yeah. That's what, you see, so when you don't accept the call of God, you are telling God that you have better things to do. Yeah. Whatever that better means. It could be anything so important to you, but you are telling God that that thing is more important to him identifying you and calling you. What's your name? Jalicia? How old are you? You're 15 years?
Yes.
A lot of 15-year-olds in Guyana?
Yes.
Yes. You are in church this morning?
Yep, amen.
Yeah. You know that there are 15-year-olds who are pregnant?
Yes, no.
Ah, enough, she says. And God is saying, you know, join the choir. Join the dancers. Say, I don't like the leader. That's the kind of stupidity some people are on. I don't like the one who's leading the choir. I don't like the one who's leading the dance. Me won't join no dance. Hey! it means you don't understand what it means to be called. I don't want to sing. I don't want to sing. I don't want to sing. I don't know how to sing. Somebody said something very interesting. He said, I don't have a voice. He said, I can't. I don't have something like I don't have a voice. I said, what are you talking with? Is it not a voice you are talking with? I said, you listen to the foolishness of your talk. You don't have a voice. So how can I hear you? What am I hearing as you are talking? Yeah. Yeah, they can sing Movado and all these people. To be summoned distinctly. Hallelujah. Now, to be called in Hebrew, or the dictionary defines the word call as an act in which someone is summoned distinctly. Distinct is special, unique. So as you have been called, as I was called, as it's very interesting when we are called and we fight the call. What is that? So come sing. We are looking at people. I have a
bathroom voice.
But bathroom voice is the best voice you can ever have. Yeah, you may have a toilet voice. That's okay. It's a voice. Types of voices. Number one, bathroom voice. Number two, toilet voice. Number three, classroom voice. Number four, bedroom voice. Yeah, there are types of voices. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to understand the privilege of being called. There's a Hebrew and Greek word that speaks about the call. In Hebrew, the word for call is kara, which means to call out, to properly address by name, those that are bidden and called for. To properly address. So God, Kara, God has properly addressed you to sing.
That's it.
You see, there's a way that you can be called that you may not feel nice about. There's something you go, hey, you, hello, watch, hey. You know, the people, yo, hi, babes, hey, you know, people go all kinds of things.
And I'm sure many of us, especially the ladies, you don't respond. Sometimes it's the horn. It's the honk. They honk the horn. Pop, 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 pop. It's like, what you? What do you mean? I mean, what do you call? What do you think? You know, what do you see me as? Now, anybody who respects themselves wants to be called and addressed properly. Now, God doesn't even need to address you and I properly. But the Bible says that to be called, the Hebrew word is kara, which means that you are properly addressed. Hey, Fortune. Fortune said, I am doing medicine. I can't. Call me when I finish my medicine. Now, tell me why at the end of it all, we will not pay a price. We will not suffer for refusing the proper addressing of the King of Kings for us to be part of his fold. I mean, it's obvious. I don't think you can ever dispute it that if you are going to be punished tomorrow for not heeding to the call of God, that God is unjust. If you look at it properly, if you look at it very well, that if you are being punished, if you are going to suffer when you die and you go and suffer, and then you feel sorry because you did not respect it. God doesn't need us, you know. We need him far more. Remember what Jesus said when he was riding in Jerusalem? When the people were saying, oh, these people are making noise. Oh, these people are making noise. Why don't you tell them to be quiet? They are disturbing. They are making noise. And then Jesus said, if they keep quiet, he said, the stones will cry out. Can you believe that if you don't sing to the glory of God, stones will sing? Annette, stones will sing. Stones can sing. Gift, stones can sing. You try it and see. Stones can sing. So it's a lack of understanding of the call that makes us drag our feet when we are called. One bishop told me that I'll do better somewhere else. I believed it. I wanted it. I said, no. I mean, it's a real thing. He told me, he said, Collins, he said, if I was here, I will not get more people than what you have here. I was surprised. Because I thought that, you know, I mean, it's the person. He said, no, it's the soil. He said, the soil that you are planting in is not the type of soil that will cause your fruits, cause you to get fruitful. So you need to change the type of soil. I understood it. He said, Guyana. I said, yes, sir. Almost 10 years. I mean, 10 years is August. It's actually 9 plus. 10 years in August, by the grace of God, I can practically, if I put the Holland ministry next to each other, the Dutch ministry, and then the Guyana mission, if I put it side by side, I can practically and evidently understand and explain and prove that I have gone forward in terms of the work of God than where I was. Yeah. No, it's feather. I told him, I said, Bishop, it's all about believing. I told him, it's believing in a person who's talking to you, you know. Yeah, when he spoke, I believed what he said. Because I wanted to do more. I wanted to be more fruitful. I wanted to also see myself starting churches and planting churches and having pastors. I wanted to also be in that. I wanted to have that privilege also.
One day, one of my shepherds in Holland, we were trying to start branches, and he was dragging his feet. And I was addressing him during one of our meetings. He opened his mouth and he said, if the police, if the immigration arrest him and sends him back to Africa, send him back to Ghana, will I buy his ticket and bring him back? As I'm telling him that he should go to Essequibo and start a church. If he goes to Essequibo and they arrest him and send him back to Ghana, is the church going to buy his ticket for him to come back? That's what he asked me. I was shocked. When I told Bishop, Bishop said, oh, don't be shocked. There were others who thought the same thing, but they didn't say it. I said, it's true. I said, it's true. He said, oh, don't be surprised. You must actually thank him for saying it. Because just as he thought about it, others also have thought about it, except that they won't tell you. They won't tell you. So to come here and to send people to Ghana, to send them to here, send them to here, send them to here, and they are going, it's far better and far fruitful. What did I exchange it for? Some nice environment, some nice food, some nice clothes, some nice money. Yeah? The Bible says that Moses, for the preciousness of the calling, he chose to suffer. He said, you know what? The call is so important that even if I suffer, there is okay. And to enjoy. To be addressed properly. To be called also means to cry unto someone or to make him famous. Hey! Imagine that you reject God when he's inviting you in order to make you famous. Imagine. Famous. You like, God wants to make you famous. He said, nah. Me wonder. Who doesn't want to be famous? It's because of famous that many people join all these politics and all of that. Yeah, to be famous. Ha! I managed to become an MP. I have duty free. I go and sit Thursday at Parliament and sleep. They pay me a lot of money. Yeah. Why is Jack Dio coming back? Why? To be famous. Yeah. And they say they are going to fight it. There are certain things that we shouldn't allow to happen in our country. There's nothing wrong in somebody, you know, coming back into politics, but there's something about one particular person who all want to be. That is something that we should try and, you know, avoid. What are you looking for? They say, if he comes, he won't get this money, he won't get that money. All kinds of things. Yeah. Let our country run in peace a little bit, no? Yeah. And that, they can put everything aside and take up this. You think that as Jack Dio is coming back, you think it's going to be easy for him? In fact, Haman says that he should come back because there are questions he must answer. So it's like this is that he's coming to. But you see, he is coming back. But you and I are being called by God. You say, no. My Sundays, Sundays is the only days I have. I gotta wash, cook, and clean and sleep. I can't stay in church for too long. God wants to make you famous. Can you believe it? God wants to make you famous. I said, God wants to make you famous. Yeah. You want fame? God can make you very, very famous. The kara word, the Hebrew word for call, is to make you famous and to address you properly. You see, when John had his revelation, and the Bible says when he saw that one of the angels, and he bowed down. And then Jesus said, no. don't bow down. Please get up. Don't bow down to me. Now, John was trying to address the angel properly. The angel realized that, no, he is not the one. He doesn't deserve that. I mean, I think it would have been nice for the angel to say, yeah, yeah, why not? Go down more, go down more. I enjoy this address. He's refusing that. And that's the type of address that God is addressing. It's like God Almighty has come and he's begging you, the brother Sherwin, please, I want you to sing in my church. I want you to preach. I want you to tell people about me. Man. Later. Later. I got me wife, man. I just married the other day, man. I got enjoy me marriage. And God is begging. It's like, how much more should he address you and beg you? And the whole thing is that he's going to make you famous. What does it mean to be called? It means that God wants to make you famous. Raheem, God wants to make you famous. Look at you, Raheem, Emmanuel, or Anthony, that God wants to make you famous. God, oh. See me, I don't want it. Church. Huh? Too much church. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. Time is up. What it means to be called? Let's understand it. So that the things that we do in our own interest, we can comfortably put it as number two and pursue the call of God upon our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Father, we just want to say thank you for the privilege to be called, to be asked by God to do anything, to be asked by God to do something in his house, to be asked and to be called and to be addressed properly by God Almighty himself to do something for him. What a privilege it is. I pray, Lord, as we go through this subject of calling, that none of us will miss the privilege that you have afforded us. As you stretch forth your hands, inviting us into the vineyard to be workers and to be famous and to be people who you are going to use for your glory. May we not miss it. May we not refuse it. May we not, oh God, suffer the effects of rejecting the Son of God who loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for understanding. And thank you that this understanding will cause us to stand and do exploits for you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, oh God. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to
www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.